Promoting Pioneer Service. After the war, publishers were encouraged to enroll as pioneers to help the growing number of those who were showing an interest in the Kingdom message. Consequently, several publishers who had stopped pioneering when our work was banned in 1941 now resumed full-time service. Though economic conditions were difficult, 47 brothers and sisters had begun pioneering by the end of 1946. One of those pioneers was Svanhild Nerol, a sister who traveled north to the country of Finnmark in 1946. Svanhild had pioneered there in 1941 with Solveig Løvaas and had experienced the bombing of both Kirkenes and Vardu. Svanhild could not forget the interested people she and Solveig had met, so she returned to Kirkenes, now devastated by the war. Local people thought Svanhild was out of her mind, going to that area without even a place to stay. Nevertheless, Svanhild trusted in Jehovah, and during the first winter, she slept on the kitchen floor of a small house where five other people lived. Post-war conditions were extremely difficult, and she endured many hardships. Often she waited in the snow and icy rain for boats that did not arrive as scheduled, if they came at all. Svanhild had many interesting experiences preaching to the Sami people. If she was not able to get out to their isolated communities by bus, she went by riverboat or by bicycle. Hospitable Sami often invited her into their tents made from reindeer hides and listened intently as she witnessed with the help of interpreters. At mealtimes, they invited her to share their meal of reindeer meat. Some who heard the good news from Svanhild later accepted the truth. Kjell Husby, who was serving at Bethel at that time, said that the branch always knew where Svanhild was, simply by the addresses of the subscriptions that she submitted. In the 3 years she was in Finnmark, she obtained 2,000 subscriptions for the Watchtower and placed 2,500 books. The following is from page 132 of the printed edition. Preaching on Level Ground. Randi Husby, born 1922, baptized 1946. Profile, in full-time service since 1946. Randi's parents were baptized as Jehovah's Witnesses in 1938, and later Randi took a stand for the truth. In 1946, she accepted an invitation to serve at Bethel, where she met a young brother named Kjell Husby. She and Kjell courted, married, and entered the pioneer ministry. They had a spiritually rich life together in various forms of full-time service until Kjell's death in 2010. In recent years, problems with Randi's legs have made it difficult for her to climb stairs or walk up steep inclines. But she manages reasonably well on level ground and is often seen witnessing on the streets and in stores in Trondheim. To share the good news with everyone she meets, Randi makes sure that she carries literature in no less than 8 languages. Also, Randi's friends in the congregation drive her to numerous people who regularly accept the latest magazines from her. Randi does not have the strength to do as much as she used to, but she continues to find joy and satisfaction in her whole-souled service, knowing that Jehovah does not forget her work and the love she has shown for His name. Returning to the account. Fishers of Men. After the war, congregation publishers also shared eagerly in the preaching work, with heartwarming results. During the war, Dag Jensen, mentioned earlier, had preached to friends and relatives in the little village of Hennes in Vesterålen. Many showed interest and studied the Bible using our literature. When the war ended in 1945, Dag was baptized. The following year, when a congregation was established in Hennes, 16 individuals were baptized at Dag's home. 5 years later, the congregation had about 50 publishers, and in 1971, Dag reported that more than 20 from that congregation had started to pioneer. Dogg's love for Jehovah and his zeal for the ministry were contagious. When Dogg walked into a home, recalls Asil Röning, who grew up in the congregation, you could not fail to see his happy and enthusiastic disposition. It was like having the sun in the house. Dogg was always very encouraging to children, such as when they had assignments in the theocratic ministry school. He made us feel that what we did was important, says Asil. With that kind encouragement, Asil herself started pioneering in 1962 and has also had the joy of sharing the glorious good news of the happy God Jehovah with others. 1 Timothy 1:11. Why did so many from this place become zealous witnesses? Although most in the small community were not churchgoers, they believed in God and the Bible. Moreover, many of the witnesses were known in the community as good family heads who had the support of their loyal wives. One of these family heads was Arnulf Jensen, Dogg's nephew, who was baptized in 1947. On weekdays, he earned a living as a fisherman, going out to sea in his fishing boat for several days at a time. But every Friday evening, he came home, even if the fishing was good and other fishermen stayed out to make more money. Arnulf made sure that he was at home on the weekends to attend the meetings and take part in the preaching work with his wife and their 8 children, all of whom took a firm stand for the truth. On Saturdays and Sundays, the brothers carried out their commission to be fishers of men, often using Arnulf's boat to do a spiritual fishing work in remote communities. Mark 1:16-18. We carry out an important work. The missionary training given at the Watchtower Bible School of Gilead in New York has been of great benefit to the Brotherhood in Norway. Hans Peter Hemstad and Gunnar Markussen, who graduated from Gilead in 1948, were the first 2 students from here. They were assigned to Norway and served in the traveling work and at Bethel, first as single men and later with their wives. From 1948 to 2010, about 45 from Norway graduated from Gilead School. More than half of them were assigned to Norway and have served as full-time preachers or traveling overseers or as members of the Bethel family. Among other early Gilead-trained missionaries to arrive in Norway were Andreas Hansen from Denmark and Kalevi Kortila from Finland. In 1951, they were sent to East Finnmark, where they covered great distances by boat, by bicycle, and on skis. Often, they built on the spiritual foundation that Svanhild Nerol had laid some years before. As a result, after just 1 year, the number of publishers in their territory increased from 3 to 15. Kjell Martinsen from Hennes in Vesterålen graduated from Gilead in 1953 and was assigned to Norway. At 22 years of age, he was sent out in the traveling work in Vestfold and Telemark. Though he found it to be intimidating to serve as a traveling overseer at such a young age, he has many happy memories of the warm welcome and loyal cooperation he received from more experienced brothers. Kjell served as a traveling overseer until 2001, when, with his wife, Jurun, he settled in Svolvær in Lofoten to serve as a pioneer. Karen Christensen came from Denmark in 1950 to pioneer in Egersund and Kongsvinger, where there were no congregations. She covered the territory on her bicycle. After graduating from Gilead in 1954, she was sent to Kongsberg. In 1956, she married Marvin Anderson and has served at Bethel since then. Conan has now enjoyed more than 60 years in the full-time ministry. We are not important people, Conan acknowledges, but we carry out an important work. Legal milestones. From 1948 to 1951, the increase was particularly good. In 1951, there was an increase of 29% in the average number of publishers, reaching a peak of 2,066. At the same time, however, Jehovah's servants in Norway faced some legal challenges. The case that attracted the most attention was in connection with street witnessing with the Watchtower. In November 1949, Some publishers who were doing street work in Oslo were taken to the police station and then let go after a few hours. Undaunted, the witnesses did street work again the following weekend. Then, on December 6, 1949, all the publishers who were doing street work in Oslo were arrested. They were told that they were not allowed to offer the magazines on the street without police permission. The police claimed that their work could cause congestion and disturbances and obstruct the flow of traffic. Seven of the publishers were questioned and taken to court, where they were required to pay a small fine or were sentenced to 3 days in jail. Because this was not just a matter of obtaining police clearance, but involved the right to exercise their religious beliefs freely, the brothers appealed the case to Norway's Supreme Court. In the newspaper Dagbladet, Jehovah's Witnesses news representative John Ross pointed out that our street witnessing had never caused any disturbance. If religious preaching is carried out on the street without disturbance of the peace, without obstructing the traffic, and without causing crowds, he reasoned, is it necessary to ask for the permission of the police? Or does freedom of religion give any citizen the right to such preaching? While waiting for the Supreme Court's decision, the witnesses continued doing street work in spite of continued arrests and increasing fines. Some publishers were arrested up to 10 times. On June 17, 1950, the Supreme Court reversed the city court's decision, and the publishers were acquitted. This and other favorable decisions confirmed that Jehovah's Witnesses have the legal right in Norway to offer Bible literature, both on the streets and from house to house, without asking for police permission. Memorable conventions. In the 1950s and 1960s, many memorable conventions strengthened the organization and drew the witnesses closer together. Nathan H. Knorr and Milton G. Henschel from the World Headquarters were two of the speakers at the National Convention held in Lillehammer in 1951. Delegates flocked to the convention from all parts of the country. How excited the delegates were to see 89 baptized and to have 2,391 present at the public talk. In subsequent years, delegates from Norway were thrilled to attend international conventions in London and New York. Then, in 1955, about 2,000 Norwegian witnesses attended an international convention in Stockholm, Sweden. The 1965 Word of Truth International Assembly held in Oslo at the Ullevål Stadium was certainly a highlight. There was, however, a challenge. Norway's national soccer team was playing against another national team in the stadium the evening before the program was to begin. An army of witnesses waited outside the gates until the soccer enthusiasts departed, and then they swarmed in to prepare the stadium for the assembly. They labored all through the night, cleaning, removing garbage, and erecting food service tents. They also built platforms, a music pavilion, and for decoration, a storehouse and 3 cabins, all with turf roofs. Miracle during the night, wrote the newspaper Dagbladet. Ullevål Stadium transformed into idyllic countryside. Unbelievable efforts by Jehovah's Witnesses. The hospitable Norwegian brothers and sisters accommodated more than 7,000 foreign delegates, most of them from Denmark. A tent camp was set up in a field just outside the city. It was ideal, while the weather held. However, the 6,000 who camped there will not quickly forget the rain, which turned the ground into a quagmire during the first days of the assembly. Everyone was grateful when the weather improved for the last 2 days. Despite the unpleasant weather, local and visiting delegates basked in the warmth of happy Christian association, and they were refreshed by the timely spiritual program. How delighted they were to have 199 baptized and a record attendance of 12,332 for the public talk given by Brother Knorr.